And brethren, I think you would all agree that we live in a country that is so blessed. When you think about other nations around the world and some of the poverty levels and all the problems that you see, we can consider how many things we have that we can easily take for granted. And so all throughout the year, not just at Thanksgiving time, we should reflect on the many blessings that God has given us. There's extreme poverty in practically every nation on the earth, whether you go over to Africa or parts of the Middle East or into Asia. Even sometimes in this country, certain people are going through dire straits. And I looked up on the internet, and it's estimated that 50% of the world lives on less than $2.50 a day. Can you imagine that? I mean, what are we going to get for $2.50? If we include a little more of the group, 80% of the world population lives on less than $10 a day. So I would think all of us fall into that other 20% category. And you just think about how blessed we are in that way. So many in the world would be happy with just a fraction of our income, wouldn't they? Just a little bit of it. It would make a big difference in their lives. Let's begin today by turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. And here we'll see that the Bible reveals that it's important for us to consider our blessings, to consider them a lot, and to be thankful for them. Let's notice what Paul says here, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. It says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." So he knew that they already had an idea of how things were, how conditions were. And verse 2 says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." And so this is telling us, no matter what age we live in, we better get ready. That's the only time we have once God's called us. And we need to be growing and developing. And you and I could say even more so, because we know we're living in the last days. Conditions around the world are changing continually. Let's look at verse 14 here and see some of the things that Paul mentions that we should be working on. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all." And so he's telling us little things to look at, and he goes on, and we'll mention a few more here in the verses that follow. Verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks." And so I'll come back to that statement, because that is so very important. He says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." And so that would include even the appearance of evil. And so we need to be careful in all those areas. But my focus today is that all of these things are important, but I really want to look closely at what it says here in verse 18. "In everything, give thanks." And so this is an area that God is expecting each and every one of us to grow in, to improve on a daily basis. It's easy for us to overlook these four simple words. And so that's my title today, "In everything, give thanks." If we look at some of the synonyms for the word thank, they are acknowledge, recognize, show appreciation, and to be grateful. And so it gives you a sense of what God is asking of us. The Greek word here for give thanks means to express gratitude. And so this is telling us, brethren, that we need to speak up. We need to share what we feel, like what you have inside and what you feel. God says, express it. Don't just be thankful, but tell others. Tell God how you feel. And that can be hard for us at times, you know, to express it at certain times. Some of us might be shy. There might be other reasons. But God is saying, let it out. You know, tell people. This is a part of what I'm training you to do, to express your thanks. And so it also says, in everything. So that would be inclusive, wouldn't it? Everything, give thanks. And so there's not a single area that God would say for us to overlook. whether it's our food or our home or our children, whatever it is. God says all areas need to be thanked for. And so we need to make this our way of life. So for a second, I'd like to ask you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes, and let me just mention then, while you have your eyes closed, that we can take many things for granted. So with your eyes closed, I want you to think about, what if this was your vision for the rest of your life? With your eyes closed. So can you imagine trying to get home now? To go out to your car? I mean, it would be tough. So maybe somebody would drive you home. And then you'd get home and you go, well, where's the front door? You know, how do I get around in my house? Oh, we've been walking around in our house, but we didn't count out those steps because we are so used to having our eyes available. And so you can open your eyes, but I'm just saying, think about the blessing of having eyesight and how we take that for granted. And this is what God is saying in everything, consider that. Because if you sat down for a meal, you wouldn't even know if there's a fork on the table. And if you found your fork and you went on your plate to get the food, you couldn't tell if it was even on your fork. And so we take a lot of these things for granted that people that are blind or have a hard time seeing have to deal with every single day. And so not only in the area of eyesight, but in every area of life, God is asking us to think about that and to be thankful, to express our thanks for it. And so there are so many areas to consider. First of all, we should thank God for all that he does. Think about it. He's our protector. Are we thankful for that? He's our provider, our life giver, our law giver. You can go into so many things, a sustainer and a creator. And it just goes on and on. We can thank individuals for their help, maybe even for their fine example. And so God is saying, learn to express, telling people and learning how to give thanks. We know there's physical blessings. There's also spiritual blessings. And so as you look at the different areas of your life, you can evaluate how much in these areas you've been given. We can show our thanks through our words or even through our actions. So I think all of us could say, boy, we could pick it up a bit. We could do better in this area. I want you to notice here in verse 18, it says it's the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So this is a double emphasis, because don't we already know what's listed in the Bible is the will of God? And here it tells us on top of that. So God is saying, children, I want you to listen. It is so important that you express your thankfulness to me and to others. If we claim to understand the plan of God, his greatness, his goodness, and all that, he's saying, I want you to share that now. I want you to express it. I want you to open up and rejoice, really, in what you have to be thankful for. And so we have so much to be thankful for, and that's good, but God is saying, go a step beyond just being thankful. Now I want you to verbalize it. I want you to tell me and others of how grateful you are for everything I've done for you. So my focus today is that we should express our gratitude. You know, it's good to have appreciation, but God says, let it out, you know, give it out to others. And so the scriptures encourage us not to hold that inside. And so we can all improve in that area. This coming Thursday, all of us are well aware, we have a holiday, a national day of Thanksgiving. And it's a wonderful time. We get together with families and friends. We are able to eat meals or food during the meal that is abundant, a variety of things. And it's a very joyous time, but many people overlook the meaning of Thanksgiving Day. I hear people say, oh, it's Turkey Day, and it kind of irritates me because I go, no, this is about thanking God first and foremost and then thanking others, and we don't want to divert from that. And that's what Satan wants, for us to forget to be thankful. And so giving thanks is a characteristic that God is wanting us to develop as his children. And so in working towards that, all of us can do better. No matter what trials we are going through, we have so much to be thankful for. And so you consider many individuals in various nations and all that they struggle with, the trials, the troubles. And so if we made a list, I think we'd be surprised at all the things that we are blessed with. And so I made a little list, jotted down a few things, and I'd like to share a few of them with you. This is, first of all, physical blessings. And so I wrote down this country. is a great blessing. Just the opportunity to live here and to think about how vast the land is and how many states and how people before us fought for it. I haven't had to fight in my lifetime to have this freedom here. You think about the coastline where you can go fishing, you can go to the beach, you consider the forests, the lakes that we can travel to and see and enjoy. You think about all the fertile ground, as opposed to some areas that have square miles or acres of desert. And we have all these forests for trees and building. We have the availability to plant corn and wheat and all these things, whereas some countries have a difficulty for that. We have minerals. That's just one little area. Another one is our freedoms. And so as each one of us sit here, we have the freedom of religion. Some countries, if we walk through that door, they could haul us off to jail, or better yet, kill us, because they won't allow that. And so we have this freedom to come and meet in peace and worship our great God. And so we have to think about that. How thankful are we for that? We have the freedom to travel state to state. You know, we don't have to pull out papers just across the state line. Or we have freedom to leave the country. Whereas those in North Korea, they can't even go down and visit their relatives in South Korea. So we can take all these things for granted, and we have to consider them. I'll mention a few other things. We have an abundance in every area. For instance, food. You can go to the grocery store, and it's not that they just have a loaf of bread and maybe plenty of it. We have so many varieties of everything. And we have that in almost every area. Abundances of everything. And so the food is available. The cost is acceptable. It's going up, but other countries have 300 or 500% inflation. So many things to be thankful for. Another item is vehicles. I've seen driveways with four cars in it, and there's only two people in the household. And so their biggest problem is shuffling the cars so they can get out the car they want to leave, because they sure can't drive them all at the same time. And so we have this abundance of vehicles. We have gasoline available. Just all these items that we can consider, brethren. And I'll mention one other thing. Our roads are such a blessing to drive on. If you go to a foreign country and you get into some of those potholes and different things, it's a mess. I used to live in Colorado, and when we would go back into the woods to build a house, after you got off the pavement, you'd hit the gravel roads, and you know how that washboard affects, so you'd be driving on that. And if you got over 20 miles an hour, you'd just be shuddering because it would just jump so bad. And then it would pitch your windshield, but once you got past the gravel, you'd get into the dirt, and that was clay. And when it rained, you couldn't get anywhere. You'd get stuck so fast. And so even our roads today is such a blessing. And so I just want us to think about that, and you can add to your list of the things that you should be grateful for and that you should be expressing thanks for. And so, brethren, I think we all realize that we should be thankful. But God is asking us to go beyond that and to start expressing what we have. If you feel gratitude towards someone, how are they going to know unless you tell them? I mean, they might sense it a little bit, but isn't that better to say, I really appreciate that you did this? And so God is saying, learn to do that. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. As you're turning there, the phrase give thanks is mentioned 44 times throughout the Bible. And so as we think about that, it shows us that God is saying through his words that it is very important for us to feel that way and to express it. And as we follow that command, we are learning more about God's way of love. Paul writes here to Timothy and tells him what people will be like in the last days. Let's notice that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And so the word perilous here, meaning terrible, difficult, and dangerous. That's what is approaching us, brethren. And so these days are already here, in a sense, in different places around the world with the news we listened to recently. But notice some of the things that he mentions now that are going to be happening in the last days. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Think about that. God inserted that right in there with all these other items. We'll come back to that. Unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong. Boy, as we read this list, isn't it shocking that more and more these things are going to flare up as Satan stirs up the world? These are going to be becoming terrible items that we'll have to notice and maybe even endure. Haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And so we see here that failure to be thankful is a very serious sin. To God, it's not a small matter. What amazes me is the word unthankful here is included with words such as brutal and blasphemers and pride. I mean, I've never thought of it, you know, being combined in with those in that sense. And so all these sins become more prevalent in the last days. Being thankful teaches us to look at things in a positive way. That's what God is asking us to do. Like Paul said, he said, think on these things in Philippians, things that are just, noble, pure, things that are of a good report. That's what God wants our minds to be on. But when we're unthankful, then we're thinking at things differently. We're not looking at them properly. And so we need to consider that. As we look at our nation at this point in time, we see many of the blessings that are there are being taken for granted. And so are we careful not to fall into a trend that is all around us that could, you know, enter our home or into our minds of being unthankful? I think that's what God is warning us here. He said it's going to grow. And so as members of the body of Christ, we have to consider that. Even the young ones nowadays, if you notice, depending on if you're around kids very much, my wife works at a bakery, and she said the kids come up to want a free cookie, and a lot of them won't even say thank you. And even if the parent says, you say thankful, you say, you know, thank you for that, sometimes they won't even say it. And the parent won't take away the cookie. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, if I didn't say thanks, I sure wouldn't have walked away with that cookie. And so you think about how the little ones are growing up and how it's just going to increase continually. And so this Sabbath service gives us an opportunity to grow in expressing our thanks. I mean, this is just one little opportunity. We have many more. And so I encourage each of us to practice telling our brethren of how grateful we are for the things they do, for the example they set, whatever it is. As you notice it, express it. Thank those who bring the flowers, those who set up the sound system, those who greet, those who teach your children in the youth classes, coffee bar, whatever it is. Be thankful and express it. We have the opportunity to encourage someone with a simple expression of gratitude. We don't know how much that's going to change their day, do we? Sometimes people are going through tough times. They might be discouraged and down, and a simple expression of thanks can lift them up. It can help their whole day have a brighter outlook. So we need to consider that. Think about how you're doing then in telling others how grateful you are for them, or how you're doing in telling God how thankful you are for everything he has poured out upon you. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 12. While you're turning there, I ask the question, have you ever prayed about something and you ask God because you really want something, need something? What you make a request to God, and then maybe it doesn't come that hour or that day, but later you realize, wow, God opened the door, he made this happen. And then it hits you, I never went and thanked him for that. I can remember doing that a few times in my life. I'm sure I've done it many more times, but it just hit me. Especially when it was a big item. One time I wanted to sell a home, and I prayed about it, and it was so amazing. And then later I go, wait a minute. I asked God for this. He did something, and I forgot to go back and offer thanks. And so we need to consider that. So this account here reveals how important it is to show our appreciation, to go and acknowledge what others have done. So Luke 17, verse 12, it says, then as he, this is referring to Christ, entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And so the reason these men stood at a distance was because in that day, if you were leprous, that you couldn't come closer to people. In one commentary I read that you couldn't approach somebody by 50 yards. You had to stay that distance so this disease that they didn't know a lot about, it wouldn't be transmitted. And so they stayed away from other people. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priests. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine that moment in their lives? Maybe they had had leprosy their whole life, or maybe for the last 10 years, but they would have been outcasts. They would have been ostracized, like you can't even be around your family. You have to live in your own colony. It would have been terrible. And so going to the priests was according to the law. If you want to read more about that, look up in Leviticus 13 and 14, and it tells you how when somebody had a little sore or spot or when it started growing, they had to go and observe it and calculate it, check it, and depending on different things, the priest had the final say whether they had to, you know, move out of the community and so forth. And they also had to do that if they were cured. So the priest inspected the lepers to verify if that their condition was totally gone. And so that's what Christ told these individuals to do. But Jesus didn't ask these men to come back and show him appreciation, did he? But he expected that of their own, to like, man, I can't believe God healed me completely of this, just as I'm going to the priest. And he's saying, that should be in your heart, and you should go and learn to express thanks. He wanted that to originate with them, just like when we raise our kids. And you give them something, and you go, what do you say? And they go, oh, thank you, and you remind them. But as they grow up, you want that to become a part of them. And so that's what Jesus was expecting here. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And so the Samaritans at that time were not well-liked. They were considered outcasts. They weren't really looked at as in a favorable way. They were not thought well of by the community. And so here, only one man returned to give thanks. And this Samaritan, you know, was despised even by the Jews. Maybe the other nine were all Jews. And here Christ is saying, this one that the Jews looked down upon, oh, he's the only one that came back and gave thanks. And so I want you to stop and think for a moment how hard that was. You're heading off to the priest in order to get this verification that you can go have a normal life again. And this one man said, I'm going to turn back and go thank. I don't know what the distance was, but the other nine just headed out. And so what I'm saying is, look at the example he set. And they wanted to go be verified that they could return to their normal life. And so I think what we can see here is this Samaritan, he displayed three excellent traits of being thankful. And so let's just notice those real quick. The first one, he was prompt. As soon as he was healed, he went back. He didn't put it off. And so I think for each one of us, as we go through our lives, we should think about that. Does somebody give you something or invite you over or offer this or that, and you go, oh, I'll thank them later. Here it's showing us through Christ's example here that we should be prompt in it. We should go right away and thank, because we have a tendency to forget, don't we, if we put it off too long. Secondly, he did it with his whole heart. It says he gave God glory. And so you think about that. We're to show enthusiasm. If somebody does something nice and you go, hey, thanks, we can have that, even though we expressed it, if we don't have that enthusiasm in our voice, it really doesn't mean much, does it? And so put your heart into it and express it in a way that shows how you feel. And thirdly, this man showed humility. And today we don't see much of that, but this attitude is important. Notice how he fell down at Jesus Christ's feet. And so he was thankful in expressing that, and these three points we should follow in our daily lives. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. And so we can notice here in verse 15 and 18 that this Samaritan was giving glory to God. And so I think a lesson is here, when we fail to give thanks to God, we are also failing to give glory to God. It gives us that connection. When we humbly thank our Father or Jesus Christ, we're offering them praise and glory. So at times we could say, wow, I've not been showing glory to God. I've been not praising him as I should. And so we see here that Jesus was clearly disappointed in the reaction of the other nine men. And yet this was a huge, life-changing event for them. Something so big that you'd say, surely they would go and say thank you. And so those nine men didn't go say thank you. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we thank God? Because it's easy to rush off and forget. Let me read what William Barclay comments in his Bible commentary about this section of Scripture. He says, no story in all the Gospels so pointedly shows man's ingratitude. God gave us his only Son, and often we never give to him even a word of thanks. And so I think that's true. And we're going to see that more and more in society based on what God tells us. He says, we already see a lot of it, but he said it's going to get a lot worse. So consider all the blessings that you enjoy, and that we can overlook what God and others have done for us, and that we need to think about that, because it's an important aspect that God is trying to add into our lives, to grow as his children. Webster's dictionary shows similarity between the words glory, praise, and thanksgiving. So let me give you those definitions. The definition of thanksgiving: the act of expressing gratitude for favors or mercies, an acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness, especially to acknowledge the goodness of God. And so you can see why God wants us to offer thanks, to give thanksgiving. It made me think of Psalm 107. Let's turn back there and look at a few statements that David makes. Psalm 107, verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, oh, give thanks to the Eternal, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And so here, the term give thanks, and how we are being reminded by God's inspiration through the psalmist here to do this more often. Let's look at verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Eternal for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And so that verse right there, verse 8, is repeated also in verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. And so it is so important that God just repeatedly put it in there for us to be reminded that we need to be expressing our gratitude to others. Giving thanks is a quality that God wants his children to have and to grow in. The definition of glory: it means to praise, to magnify and honor in worship, in thought or words. And so God would definitely want us to be doing that. And the definition of praise: honor rendered because of excellence or worth, especially the joyful tribute of gratitude rendered to the divine being. And so these very words mean so much, and we see how closely related they are, and that God wants us to add this and inculcate this into our lives. Turn back a few pages to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and we'll read verses 4 and 5. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So see how closely connected here it is. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. And so we see how closely connected these words are and how beautifully they tie together. And yet, don't we all have times in our lives where we're not as thankful as we should be, and we don't express it as much as we could? Our Father wants us, all of his children, to show appreciation. And so he's asking us to improve. He's saying, come, you know, learn to give thanks. It's teaching you things. It's showing a quality in you. Blessings that we may take for granted, such as our daily food, the roof over our heads, our eyesight, as I mentioned before. God says, be thankful and express it. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. So we should ask ourselves, brethren, do we thank God daily for our blessings, for our physical blessings and our spiritual blessings? If we don't, we know that they could eventually be taken away. And here we see an example with Israel, who made a lot of mistakes, and God records it for us, and how they spent a lot of time, and they weren't too thankful. They kind of went the opposite way. They did a lot of complaining. So let's notice here, we'll just touch on this story, Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. It says, so it shall be, when the Eternal your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. How many things do we have in our life that we obtained, but we really didn't work for it? It was a gift or something God just blessed us with, maybe even a talent we have. That's given by God. And so he's telling the Israelites, these things that I've given you, you didn't do much for them. Verse 11, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. And so they had the opportunity to enjoy all these multiple blessings that God had given them. And so, brethren, when we receive blessings from God that we don't deserve, are we still thankful? Do we go and tell him for that? He commands us to live by his laws, and he says, have it in your heart to come and express this. Let's notice verse 12. Then beware, lest you forget the Eternal who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And so everything we have, God has given us, our very lives, all the possessions, they all belong to him. And our lives are just temporary here, and he offers us so much, and when we die, it's still his. It goes back to him. He's just allowing us to care for our property and our homes and so forth. And so let me refer back to my list of blessings that I had written down. We'll look at a few more physical blessings here. What about your education? There's a lot of countries in the world that people want to go to school. They want to learn more, but it's not even available, even if they wanted to. Other places, the cost is so high that they cannot go. In some countries, the women are excluded from being educated. So we need to count our blessings in that way. What about your health? There's always somebody worse, isn't there? Maybe many of you read just recently, I think it was on Thursday, but this last week, about the man in Australia who was hit head-on in an auto collision. And he's a member of the Church of God. And to skip right through the story, he's now a paraplegic. Can you imagine if your mate, one day just that quick, cannot have any movement except for the head, and the rest of the body is basically dead? And so, brethren, we have to think about our health. Things can be pretty tough at times with aches and pains, but do we give thanks for the health that we do have, for the eyes and the ears to hear and so forth? God wants us to be thankful. So when our leg hurts, we can say, wait a minute. There's a person that's crippled and they're in a wheelchair, or that person doesn't have any legs. So you see what I'm saying? God is teaching us to look at things in a whole new way. Even though we have pains and struggles, we're not denying that. He's saying, you can still be thankful. You can still be grateful for what you have. What about your home? There's people that are homeless even in this nation, and so many more around the world. Refugees living in tents. Can you imagine that? Tent city. And during the middle of the summer, how hot and humid, and no bathroom facilities, no AC, or during the winter, bitter cold, and you don't even know when you're going to have a little piece of property to call your own. And I mean, we have so much to be thankful for. What about access to phone, internet, cable, things that many countries don't even consider if you're way out in the back areas of China or India or wherever? And we can just take that so for granted, like, well, let me just pull out my phone and look up the weather or whatever it is. Brethren, we have so many things to be grateful for. And so let's notice here now verse 24 back in Deuteronomy 6. It says, "And the Eternal commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Eternal our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day." And so, if we just pull out of this that God is doing everything for our good, and he says everything will work out for the good. And so, I think what he's telling us is take a different look at life. And even though you have to deal with this or that, start to see how much God has given us and expressing your thanks and look at everything more positively. Look at it from the way that God wants us to see it. I'd like to refer to an article here that I found on the internet. It's entitled, "Seven Scientifically Proven Benefits of Gratitude That Will Motivate You to Give Thanks Year-Around." And so this article was written in November of last year, and the author is Amy Morin. And so she has several points here. I'll refer to several of them. But I bring all this up because her points are in the Bible. I mean, I tie some scriptures to these because this is nothing new. God's already told us what man is coming up with. So her first point is gratitude opens the door to more relationships. Not only does saying thank you constitute good manners, but showing appreciation can help you to win new friends, according to a 2014 study. So you notice each one of these points I refer to, they've done studies on all of them. It's as if man says, well, I don't know if we can trust the Bible, but we'll study it. And what they're finding out is what God said is true. So according to this 2014 study, the study found that making a new acquaintance makes them more likely to seek an ongoing relationship. So whether you thank a stranger for holding the door, or you send a quick thank you note to that coworker who helped you with a project, acknowledging other people's contributions can lead to new opportunities. So we already know this. This is what God is telling us throughout the scriptures. Let me just refer to Proverbs 16, verse 24. It says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." And so you think about these proverbs that God uttered through men and wrote down for us, how true they are. He wants us to be able to almost heal people with our words and to be kind and generous. And so these studies show what God has known all along, that expressing our gratitude can bring quality to our life. It doesn't cost us anything, does it, to offer thanks? It doesn't take much time, not much at all. And yet the payback is huge. Here's another point that this lady offers. Gratitude improves physical health. She says, "Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people," according to a 2012 study. Not surprisingly, grateful people are also more likely to take care of their health. And then she goes on to talk about how they exercise more, and so forth. And so here's another principle that ties right in with the Bible. I'll refer to Proverbs 12 and verse 18. It says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." Think about that. The tongue of the wise promotes health. So we can actually help heal people to a degree in attitude and well-being just by our kind words. And that's what God's trying to teach us here. And so we should practice using words of gratitude continually. And I think most of us can do better. We've overlooked this tool that God's given us to grow in. Another point she makes is gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude reduces a multitude of toxic emotions, ranging from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. And so you look at how much just being grateful can do. Robert Emmons, PhD, a leading gratitude researcher, has conducted multiple studies on the link between gratitude and well-being. His research confirms that gratitude effectively increases happiness and it reduces depression. Isn't that amazing? So if you're feeling depressed, here's something to put into practice. I'll refer to Proverbs 12:25. It says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I mean, look at the wisdom of God. He pours these things out and man has to go through it and eventually ends up with the same conclusion. Another point she gave was gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. And so today, you know, we're talking about in everything give thanks. And these are the benefits of it. And we deny ourselves these items when we don't do what God asks us to do. This point says grateful people are more likely to behave in a loving manner, even when others behave less kind, according to a 2012 study by the University of Kentucky. The participants who ranked higher on gratitude scales were less likely to retaliate against others, even when given negative feedback. They experienced more sensitivity and empathy toward other people and a decreased desire to seek revenge. And so you think about it, this is right in line with the Bible. I'll refer to another Proverbs, Proverbs 14, verse 30. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. And so God is sharing so much with us that maybe in our lifetime we wouldn't figure out some of these things, but he's telling us right off the bat, he's saying, express gratitude and you can have all these benefits that will come. Here's another one that you might take interest in if you're not sleeping well. Grateful people sleep better. Writing in a gratitude journal improves sleep, according to a 2011 study. Spend just 15 minutes jotting down a few grateful sentiments before bed, and you may sleep better and longer. So think about that. And I could add to that. Here's this gratitude journal, but what about praying before we go to bed and offering gratitude? Consider that as you pour out thanksgiving to God. To me, you can sleep a lot better. And so let's turn back to Philippians 4 and verse 6. As we look at a scripture that Paul writes regarding our prayers. Philippians 4 verse 6. And so as you go to God and ask him things, just remember, there's a requirement that God tells us to do when we're asking him things. Here it is. Philippians 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Did you get that, brethren? God says, if you're going to make a request, do it with thanksgiving. And how many times have we gone and say, oh, God, please give me this. Please get me that. But where's the thanks in that? We need to learn that. Here's a method that God says, this is important for me to give you your request, to have that thankful heart and to express it. And a lot of times we can think of prayer as a chore, kind of like, oh, I need to say my prayers. We've probably all done that, right? And yet think of it as a privilege that we get to go before God and to praise him and to thank him and to talk with him. And so think for a minute about Queen Esther. Here she is, the queen of the land. And in order for her to approach her husband on the throne, he has to hand out his scepter. And so she wants to go to her husband, but if he doesn't hand out that scepter, she could be killed. And yet here we have God Almighty who says, I'm the greatest king in all the universe. And you can come to me anytime, anywhere, for any reason. So think of prayer as a privilege instead of like, oh, I've got to say my prayers. And so God says, come to me. And as you make your requests, make sure that you do it with a thankful heart and express how you're feeling. This author continues with, other studies have shown that gratitude reduces social comparisons. Rather than becoming resentful toward people who have more money or better jobs, grateful people are able to appreciate other people's accomplishments. And so we see a lot of that problem in the world, don't we? People saying, boy, I wish I had that, and I can't wait to get that, and so forth. And so this is a trend in our society. If our friends have it, if our boss has it, if our classmates have it, we want it, and we want it now. And so if it's the newest phone, you go, I got to get that. If it's the latest iPad, oh, I sure wish I had that. So let me just refer to what Paul also mentions. We're right here in Philippians, but I'll just refer to it. In verse 11, he says this in the latter part of verse 11, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." And so, brethren, these points are telling us that a grateful heart has a tendency to be more contented with what we have instead of always wanting what others have. Let me just offer one last point this author mentions. Gratitude increases mental strength. For years, research has shown gratitude not only reduces stress, but it may also play a major role in overcoming trauma. A 2006 study found that Vietnam War veterans with higher levels of gratitude experienced lower rates of post-traumatic stress disorder. Recognizing all that you have to be thankful for, even during the worst times of life, fosters resilience. Consider that. The word resilience means the ability to recover quickly from setbacks. In other words, we can bounce back from trials faster than otherwise if we weren't grateful. So God is saying, if you will express your gratitude, then you can actually recover from your trials faster than someone who isn't. And so when we focus on the bad times, it holds us back from growing, from overcoming, and from being thankful. The more we complain, it takes away the opportunity to show appreciation. And so we have an example of this in the Old Testament as well. Let's turn back to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14, and we'll take a look there with a story regarding the Israelites. To give you the background here, the children of Israel had been told to pick a leader from each tribe, and these 12 leaders were to go spy out the land that God was promising to them. And yet they came back with a bad report. At least 10 of the 12 did. And so let's notice, when these individuals who looked at things negatively came back and they spread this among the people, notice the people's reaction. Numbers 14, verse 1. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night." Just from this bad report, from, in a sense, complaining about the land and not trusting God that he had all this power. Verse 2, "And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness.'" And so these individuals weren't grateful, of which we can see God is telling us to do. It goes on to say, we need to select a new leader. I mean, they were desperate here. Let's go down to verse 6. "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land.'" And so here's two men that trusted in God and knew that he could defend them and work it all out. And yet the other 10 were giving a bad report. And look at how it affected the people. And so I think this story shows us there's two ways to look at things, isn't there? And the more thankful heart, the more grateful heart tends to look at the positive side of everything, and we have more trust in God that way. Let's look at verse 10 now. "And all the congregation said to stone them with stones." So look at their attitude. I mean, here's these men giving a report of what they honestly saw, and the congregation was so stirred up. Jumping down to verse 11, "Then the Eternal said to Moses, 'How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them?'" And so, brethren, you think about all the things that God had done for them and that they had seen. The plagues of Egypt, the opening of the Red Sea, the manna, and I could go on and on. And yet all they could think about is, oh, we can't go in there, we're fearful and all that. And so we need to stop and think about, you know, how we look at things and how we go to God with things. And so they were very ungrateful. And God says, I could wipe you out with pestilence and so forth. But God pardoned them because of Moses' words and so forth. But let's notice there's still a repercussion when we look at things in a wrong way. Let's look at verse 22. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. And so when we're ungrateful, consider how the blessings that God wants to give us can be taken away. And so only Joshua and Caleb, only 2 men out of the multiple thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions, that didn't make it into the promised land, those 20 and above, only these 2 men, because of complaining, because of being unthankful. And so if we look at the correlation here, they wanted to enter the promised land. We're wanting to enter the kingdom of God. They were physical Israel. We're spiritual Israel. We need to learn and see how God says, be thankful and express it. And so man's studies recognize what the Bible already tells us. In everything, give thanks. As we express our appreciation, we know that it adds quality to our lives. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans 1, verse 20. As you go outdoors and you look at the beautiful creation and you know with all your heart that a great God created all those things, notice what Paul writes here in Romans 1, verse 20 and 21. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so notice even again how it ties in glorifying God and thanking God. And when we don't do that, God literally allows us to be blinded and our hearts darkened. And so he's saying, as this world gets worse, make sure that you, my children, are really considering whether you're expressing your thanks. Let's look at one other area of giving thanks quickly. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. And here it tells us that we should consider the spiritual blessings that God has poured out upon us. Paul writes in Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So, brethren, we have been offered so much. I'll refer to my list again here on blessings, a few spiritual blessings that I'll just comment on. Just the opportunity to meet here today, whereas in some countries there's vast distances between them and the congregation, hundreds and hundreds of miles, or in their whole country in the Far East or wherever, there may not even be a church within 1,000 miles. We have the opportunity to come and meet here. We know the plan of God. I mean, I could just go on about that, but just think about it. We know the plan of God. What a blessing. We're made in the image of God, and we know the reason why, for the purpose of becoming the children of God. A blessing is that God desires all to be saved and none to perish. Now, we know some may not choose that way, but when you think about your classmates, when you think about those you work with, your friends, your relatives, God is saying each one of those loved ones of yours has the opportunity to join my family. What a blessing. When we think about the armor of God in Ephesians 6, it tells us to put it on. God supplies that. And we should put on that every day. Sometimes we take it off, but God's made it available. We should thank God for that. In Hebrews 1, it tells us about the angels. It tells us the purpose. It says, are they not ministering spirits given to those who will inherit salvation? And so when you think about that, do you thank God for the angels that watch over you and all that they do? We could talk about the Bible and how many down through the ages have not even had access to the words of God. It wasn't even available. It wasn't printed. It was too costly. People died having this in their possession, and yet we can carry it, read it anytime. Do you give thanks to God for that? What about your calling? What about your baptism? What about the forgiveness that God offers? The mercy that he has granted us? The patience that he has with each one of us as we go through our lives and make mistakes, terrible mistakes, and he goes, I'm patient with you. Keep going. I'll help you. What about our bodies being the temple of God's Holy Spirit? And I'm just touching on these, throwing them out, but these are so many areas in which God has poured out his spiritual blessings. He's offered us salvation. He wants us to inherit the universe. He wants us to be the bride of Christ. He wants us to be the children of God. He wants us to live forever. Brethren, I think you get the point. We have every spiritual blessing that we could ever imagine poured out upon us, and we have to consider that. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6 to conclude. Colossians 2 and verse 6. This chapter has a lot in it because this is where Mr. Stevens covered his sermonette. But as Paul mentioned earlier, we're to give thanks in everything. But here Paul adds a little something else to that. You could think, what else could we do? In everything, give thanks. But notice what he says. Colossians 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Do you get that? The word abound means to increase. It means to excel. This is what God is asking us to do in this area of thanksgiving. This is our focus, and we have the opportunity to grow in that each and every day of our lives. Brethren, really, the choice is ours. All of us have to make a decision. We can follow the trend of society and be unthankful, or we can abound in thanksgiving. So not only on Thanksgiving Day and this weekend, but every day for the rest of our lives, let's go to God, let's go to others, and let's express our thanksgiving.